Welcome to the 104 Sports Report, hosted by Alex Brooks and Brian Burrows, the main source for Oswego sports, a member of the Oswegonian Multimedia Network. Let's get into it.
Welcome in to episode 5 of the 104 Sports Report. I'm Brian Burrows, one of your hosts, here with Alex Brooks. Alex, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Midterms just ended, and now we are going to be talking about some playoffs here for fall sports, one with women's soccer and then women's volleyball. We wish that it was the 4 teams going in there, or at least, you know, 3, but we got 2 teams that are going in the playoffs. We're going to start to talk about it. I am very excited.
Yeah, me too. As I wrote on the rundown sheet, it's yoff season, baby.
It's yoff season. It's yoff season. I love
playoffs. Playoffs hype everybody up, including the teams that make it, which, starting with that women's soccer team, who tied with New Paltz on the final day of the season, of their season, a 2-2 draw in New Paltz, clinched the number 5 seed.
Yeah, and just looking at that game, there were goals by Amber McDermott, was her 29th of her career, and Gracia Madden, her 77th.
No, minute, sorry. That's my
That's my bad.
No, that's not
I'm reading the wrong thing. All right, yeah, never mind.
So it's Amber McDermott, 29th minute goal, Gracia Madden, 77th. McDermott gave him an early 1-0 lead. Madden's tied it at 2 after...
It's just how the day goes, Brian. It's just how the day goes. All right. I know it. So, Perry Anderson, she had 3 saves, and she had 2 goals allowed and only 5 total shots for her. And now, in that game, as it was a 2-2 tie to New Paltz, now the soccer team has to travel back to Plattsburgh on Saturday. And, Brian, I mean, they didn't really do well against Plattsburgh in Plattsburgh this year. It's just been...
it'll be 3 weeks prior to the day that they played them last time up in Plattsburgh, 2-0 loss. Yeah, not their best game up there, and they have to go back there in a playoff atmosphere, turn things around. Anderson had a good day that time, 6 saves, allowed both goals. But 6 saves on 8 total shots isn't a bad day.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to think of the momentum going into it. I mean, Oswego, obviously they tied against New Paltz, so they have a little bit of momentum there, and then they just won against Fredonia the week prior. But going into that Plattsburgh game, they didn't have any goals scored against Geneseo, and then just were kind of... like, they just didn't perform at Plattsburgh, and then they lost, and then they tied with Buff State, and then lost to Oneonta. So I feel like it's something where it's momentum going in there. They have a little bit of momentum just going into the season, knowing that they have a playoff spot, they are still alive. But you also got to take that Plattsburgh has just been a tough SUNYAC team, as looking at the standings right now in the conference, they are 5-3. And 1, and Oswego is 3-3-3, and you just see the difference between the SUNYAC records. It's just, you know, that does play a factor.
Yeah, and I mean, Plattsburgh is only the 4 seed, and they still had 2 more wins than the Lakers did, which is hurt. And you mentioned momentum. Plattsburgh has won 7 of their last 9 games. They have only 1 loss in their last 9 games, so they had a tie. Their loss came to number 5 ranked William Smith College. Like, that is... so they lose to one of the best teams in the country. Besides that, they have 8 wins and 1 tie. And their tie was also against a non-conference opponent in Union College.
Right.
So they're killing SUNYAC opponents. They're killing... they're winning all these games. And they know at least this game... if they win that, the one after that are all going to be SUNYAC opponents, teams that they have this season been pretty good against.
Yeah, and also just for Oswego, including that loss to Plattsburgh on October 8th this season, they're currently on a 7-game losing streak to Plattsburgh, going back to the 2016 season. Yeah. They are 3-9-2 all time at Plattsburgh.
Yeah, they
on the road to Plattsburgh, and under Coach McGrain, they are only 1-6-1.
Yeah, they when they go to Plattsburgh, it hasn't been good. Under Coach McGrain, it has been even worse. 6 of the 9 losses in Plattsburgh have been under Coach McGrain.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not great. The record there, it's going to be a hard one for them to turn around.
And it's looking at here, the women's soccer, they made the Suniac playoffs first time since 2016. Then the last time they were in the playoffs, they lost to Plattsburgh.
Do nothing.
In Plattsburgh.
In Plattsburgh. And the weird thing about this, there's a really weird parallel. If you look at the date on that game, October 29th, which is the same date they'll be playing this Saturday. It'll be October 29th, 2022. Last time they made the playoff was 20. They played the first round game on October 29th, 2016.
You can't script it anybody.
No, you can't script it any better. Rewrite the ship. That's what I'm saying. Let's rewrite this ship. They can do it. They had it. I mean, 3-3-3 isn't the best season in the conference, but overall they had a really good year. I think this team can't do it.
I mean, that's the thing about the playoffs. It's like the records are out the window.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if you are a first seed or you're a sixth seed. If you get hot and you have a good first game, that can ride you until winning the Suniac championship. Yeah. Obviously, maybe a little different based on, you know, teams that have had more momentum going into the playoffs, but it's also just you can't take any team lightly. Like Plattsburgh, on one hand, can't take Oswego lightly. No. They've had success against them, obviously, but that doesn't mean that Oswego can't come up to go up to Plattsburgh and score 3 goals on them and knock them off their shoes. It's something that you know, you got to see. And for Coach McGrain, like, you know, they would love if Oswego was able to do that, but yeah. You know, we're gonna have to see. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, and I'm just looking for big games from Katie Del Grosso, Gracia Madden, and Amber McDermott. I feel like those are the 3 big names. Lugina Serrao, also great. Brianna Winkler, also good. But like, so the top scorers, Brianna Winkler, Katie Del Grosso, looking for big games from them. Also, Amber McDermott, she was really good this year. So was Gracia Madden. So I'm just looking for really big games from them.
Yeah, and it's gonna be interesting to see. I know that obviously Oswego's not gonna have a home game. Unless something weird happens
unless they make it to the championship game and take on Brockport.
Take on Brockport, then they'll have a home game of Suniac. But that is something that is, that would be unprecedented.
Yeah.
But obviously we have Plattsburgh, New Paltz, Geneseo, and Cortland right above them, who have obviously clinched those seeds. And I believe that if Oswego wins against Plattsburgh, then it will be either Geneseo or Cortland.
Yeah, I think they would get Geneseo. Not 100% sure, but I think
unless Brockport does end up,
yeah, let's see, there's a
beating New Paltz.
I can find this. Let's see. Give me a. All right, that's not what I wanted. Well, you know what. Anyways,
we'll cross it at a different time.
We'll figure it out eventually. But I think let's move on to the volleyball team. Very exciting team this year. Had a rough end of their season. Season's not over yet. They got a game left to Mary. Head down to Marywood and take on Pennsylvania. Wow. One of those days, like you said. Head down to Scranton, Pennsylvania, take on Marywood University. But big weekend for them. They did lose. They got swept by New Paltz last Friday. Third time this season they've been swept by a Suniac opponent. That hurts. But yeah. Big comeback, 3-2 win over Oneonta on Saturday, and they have since clinched the 5 seed. I think they did that after they lost to New Paltz. I'm pretty sure that was official Friday night. But the win helps. The win is a nice confidence boost, like knowing, hey, there are teams. We can go get on the road, beat the Suniac. It's always just a good thing to know.
Yeah, most definitely. And winning against Oneonta was huge. I mean, it's on the road. Obviously, they've had a lot of home success this season, and it's just something where they're proving that they can win on the road. I mean, you look at their records on the road, it's just been, obviously, when it's non-conference opponents, they're able to dominate, but on the road it's been a record of 4-6, and yeah. most of those losses are against SUNYAC opponents like Cortland, like Brockport, like Geneseo,
yeah,
and like New Paltz. So it's gonna be interesting now that they, you know, they clinched a 5 seed and they're gonna take on Marywood, which obviously if you win, that's great. Just to try to get 2 straight wins going into the playoffs, but
momentum,
yeah, exactly. But you gotta look at the playoff preview now. We're going to Geneseo.
Yeah, a team that we lost 3-2 to.
It was tough.
They went down 2-0 early in the sets, came back, won 2 in a row.
Yeah.
And that third set wasn't good.
Yeah, and you can't expect to go down 2 sets and expect to go and all come back and win all the way back. Like, it's improbable.
Yeah.
It's something where you gotta try to get ahead early. Like, that first set, win it, and then try to play your game from there.
Yeah. But, I mean, I got to say, they fought that entire game. That first set was a 25-23 victory for Geneseo. Like, that is a close set. Second set, not as close, 25-18 for Geneseo. Then we come back, 25-20, 25-22, and then it was a 15-9 final set. Mm-hmm. So I think just by the end of that game, they were probably dead. They were working their butts off to, like, win that third set, win that fourth set. And they were long sets. I mean, like I said, those were 40. Each one of those was almost, except for set 2 and set 5, were 40 games long.
Yeah.
So, like, I think just by set 5, they were probably dead at that point.
Yeah, and you gotta think of the people who you need to step up. You gotta think of Kara Simplicio, who's leading in kills.
Yeah.
She's been
outstanding,
one of the best players on this team. Also McKenna Corbin and Georgia Ferry. It's just these players need to be the leaders for this team.
Yeah. I mean, McKenna Corbin, just like team assists, McKenna Corbin, 734. The second person, Nia Diaz, has 92. McKenna Corbin. It's just setting people up like it's nobody's business for this team. She is the go-to assist person. That ball is almost always touching her arms on Oswego point.
Yeah, and
great.
It's just it's nuts. And you go to obviously Grace Taylor and Kara Simplicio. I mean, Kara Simplicio has about 40 and change more points than Grace Taylor. So it's just those good players that can set up other players, as you mentioned with McKenna Corbin, but it's also those people who you know that you can rely on when it gets tough and when it gets into a position that they might be with Geneseo. Obviously, they may not be able to get out fast, but being able to just kind of like play their game, and obviously it's on the road and they're on a 6-game losing streak against Geneseo, and like these two teams, Brian, the script is not really looking good going into the playoffs, especially against teams that they have just lost to a bunch of times and on a really bad streak.
A 6-game losing streak, this one also dating back to 2016 for this volleyball team. Rewriting the scripts. I think this episode is momentum and rewriting the scripts for these playoff matchups, because this is a game they can win.
Yeah,
I want to say 6-game losing streak. 5 of those games were not under head coach Tony Renz.
Right.
That was other coaches. Tony Renz this year has completely turned this team around.
Exactly.
So. I'm not taking that as a factor at all.
And you got to also think that the weekend against Brockport and Geneseo, you had to travel to Brockport and then travel to Geneseo.
Yeah.
At this point, you can just, chill. Obviously, you're going to Scranton, Saturday, and then they can go to Geneseo.
Yeah, they get to come back, They're in Marywood on Saturday, get to come back, relax on Friday or Sunday, relax on Monday, and then head off to Geneseo for Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They get some rest days in there. It's not a back to back. They'll probably get some practice in there as well. But like, I think Toby Renz will be like, just know he knows it. He'll know exactly what to do with this team. Make sure to like make they are fully rested and prepared for this 6 o'clock matchup in Geneseo Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's the matchup of 2-5 seeds here in Oswego, because women's volleyball clinched the 5 seed as well. So yeah. it's gonna be just kind of like interesting to just see these two matchups of like teams that are lower in the SUNYAC, but also you know that they have it where they can make a run and set themselves up for a SUNYAC championship.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trying to just talk about the, you know, the first game, but you gotta be excited, you know? You gotta be excited that you're obviously not the last seed, but you're not one of the top three teams where you have a little bit of wiggle room, and you have a little bit of, like, a reprieve knowing that you're gonna face lower level. So, time to step up for both of these teams.
Yeah.
For Oswego.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the Knights' like schedule. They have won their last 5 games. The first of those games was Oswego, but all of those games they didn't have a challenge. The only team that challenged them was Oswego. That was a five sets. They swept Potsdam. They swept Plattsburgh. They 3-1 over Buffalo State and a 3-0 to Fredonia. Like, Oswego was the team that tested them the most out of that, besides their 2 losses, or their 3 losses, like, to New Paltz, Brockport, and Cortland.
Right.
Like, the only other team that really tested them this season was the Lakers. So, that's just really good. Like, they know, and Geneseo knows, this team needs to be, like, you can't just, like, walk over. They're not going to walk over them like they did the other ones.
Exactly. And it's something where Oswego has to go on the road. And obviously that's a big factor because they are really good at home.
Yeah.
But as a 5 seed, you got to expect that you're going to go on the road. You got to expect that you got to step up, and you got to take you got to think of a different approach and try to rewrite the script, as we've said all of this podcast. But
yeah, just figure out how to go on the road. So yeah, winner of that one takes on, we'll go to Cortland.
Yep.
They'll head up to Cortland, take on the number 1 seed, which hurts. That's going to be a tough one. Cortland swept both of these teams in their regular season matchups. Easily the best team in SUNYAC.
Mm-hmm.
And just cycling back here a second, I finally found the women's soccer bracket. Winner of Oswego Plattsburgh also goes to Cortland.
Okay.
For that matchup.
So, whew. Red Dragons are waiting for the Lakers. And the Lakers are hoping that they can try to slay the Red Dragons here in the fall sports playoffs. But
We got to get there first.
We got to win this first game. But let's transition over to some field hockey.
Yeah. Finally got a win yesterday. First SUNYAC win, 7-0 over Morrisville. 4 goals for Casey Simser. They outshot them 26-0. They didn't allow a single shot in the game.
It's just like, I mean, you couldn't have done that all season.
Right.
You couldn't have done that all season. I know it's like, it's the last, you know, the final game for head coach Heather Moore.
Yeah.
As she's had a good career, 31-48. Might not be the best record, but, you know, she has led the Lakers. She has led those led the girls to where they are today, and kind of helping them become who they are today in field hockey. But it's also something where it's just like, why couldn't that be the entire season?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I talk about it every episode that I got so hyped the first and second episode about this field hockey team, but I knew that I needed to calm my expectations because of the SUNYAC.
Yeah.
1-5 versus the SUNYAC. Morrisville was the first win, and it was the last game of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to end the season with morale, but it's also something where it's like, oh, you know, we were able to just dominate a Morrisville team. I get it that they might not be the team to, you know, the beat in the Suniac, but it's also something where it's like,
do it versus everybody.
Do it versus everybody. Try to be more competitive in those games.
But yeah. So final game for Coach Heather Moore. She gets a winner. She gets to walk away with a win, which is nice. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, 31-48 in Suniac, her total record in 5 seasons as the head coach here, and overall 8-22 in the Suniac in those 5 seasons. That's not the best, but she had a good career.
She had a good career,
so we're gonna leave. We'll leave it there.
Exactly.
Now we'll switch over. Staying at the turf, men's soccer season also over. And then we gave you all those scenarios last episode about.
I wish one of those scenarios was gonna work out. Yeah, I really wish.
They could have got there, but the thing they needed to do was win, and unfortunately they did not. It was a 3-1 loss to New Paltz. Yeah.
You put in all that work, Brian.
I know.
You put in all that research, and it was all for naught because they weren't able to win against New Paltz.
Unfortunately. But this wasn't their year. It is what it is.
You scarf it up is not your year. That's basically where you take it as Nikola Kovacevic had the only goal of the game. They were outshot 15-7. They only had 4 shots to New Paltz's 9 shots on goal.
Yep.
And yeah, it was a disappointing end. 4-8-2 overall and 2-5-1 in the Suniac. But the real question is like, where do you go from here if you're Coach Kane? Obviously you got a good amount of time where you can just relax and kind of take in the whole season, but where do you go from here going into next year?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're going to be losing some guys. And you're going to be losing some leaders.
And I think the big one is Caleb Munsky.
Yeah.
He walks away finishing his outstanding career. He actually ended up breaking 2 program records in his career, setting the record for minutes played in games started 58-10. 5,810 minutes played across his career.
He just
63 games started.
Congrats to him.
That is outstanding.
I mean, someone who's just been an advocate for, you know, mental health as well. Just, and then being able to use that and also just being an outstanding soccer player and just an outstanding person. Just creds to him for, you know, everything he's done. And it's just been it's a sad way to end your Oswego career, but you know, things do happen.
Yeah. But,
so,
yeah, as you mentioned, he is just one of the players that will not be on this team next year, and it's an interesting offseason for Coach Kane. But there were definitely some bright spots on this team as well.
Yep.
I know he did end up losing his starting job, but Andre Bacioli, the freshman goalkeeper, had a couple really good games there in the middle of the season. So,
yeah.
That's one bright spot. Genrich is only a junior. He should be back.
He'll be Genrich and Contreras should be back because they are both juniors and we saw a lot of consistency with them during the season, and they're going to be in that senior leader spot. So, it's going to be something where you're going to have those guys where you can rely on.
Yeah.
And then
you got Kyle Hanner, Nikola Kovacevic, both sophomores. They're going to be stepping up into bigger playing roles next year. I know we saw Kyle Hanner come off the bench a few times and be definitely a big playmaker for them, just kind of flying around the field.
And you got to even think these big three right here, Brendan Murphy, Liam Rother, and Kieran Gilroy, they are all juniors.
Should all be back next year.
They should all be back next year. And, you know, that senior class is going to be stacked.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big senior class. So it's where Coach Kane has to say to these guys, hey, we had a disappointing season last season, but we have a good amount of foundation players still in this program. It's a make or break. It's a make or break season next year.
Another big guy, Jason Witek, only a freshman. He'll go into his sophomore year this year. He was starting out at the wing for a good portion of the season. So, like, they're losing some pieces, but they're not. They are returning a lot of their big playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
So this team has a lot to look forward to next year.
Yeah, it's going. I'm really positively encouraged that we will see a little bit more urgency next year.
Yeah.
I'm really hopeful that Dan Kane can take this team and kind of say, you know, it was a disappointing end. There wasn't a lot of success between, you know, SUNYAC opponents and out of conference opponents. It's just kind of like where we could take it and be like, okay, next year, really no excuses. We got to be the ones who can make the difference in that SUNYAC and try to bring this soccer team back to success.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, they can do this. They a good offseason program. They get a good preseason. Like this team can be there next year. They were there last year.
Exactly.
And like I said, a lot of their big playmakers were sophomore juniors, and they only added some good. They added some good freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think people who were already there at the SUNYAC championship game made their way through the playoffs, have that experience on top of.
Right.
This year's freshman, next year's freshman class. Like, this team will be ready next year.
Yep.
For a challenge, and I really hope they step up to it.
Yeah, exactly. And before we go over to a little bit of hockey news, I'll just shout out the boys podcast over here. Looking for the latest Oswego State Lakers hockey news? Tune into the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. Hosts Zach Case and Thomas Turgeon update listeners on the Oswego State men's and women's hockey teams. Interviews, opinions, and hot takes all from the Oswegonian office. Check out the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, a podcast under the Oswegonian Multimedia Department.
Yeah.
And
so, hockey. Start with the women's team, as they play first here. They have doubleheader this weekend, taking on doubleheader versus Adrian College. Both games versus Adrian College too, which is crazy to me. But I think it's just because they're from Michigan, so they don't have not a lot of travel. They get two games in. They both get two games. They're both Oswego not yet ranked. Adrian is ranked, so it's gonna be a big game, and they unfortunately didn't win either of their preseason matchups. They did. It was Nazareth in the game two, as we mentioned last episode. It was so they're ranked, so they're a really good team. But I kind of would like to see a little bit better play, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Bulldogs, they're ranked 12th right now so far, and to start the season, and for Oswego, it's just kind of like you got to hit a little bit of reset. Obviously, the two games are exhibition games. We don't want to take that too seriously, but we don't want to just sweep it under the rug.
No.
Because it's not like with other preseasons. Like, I'm just going to go to some pro sports. Just like with MLB and NFL, and even like NBA, like they have starters that are like
guaranteed spots.
They have players who are coming up from AA, single A, and also NFL. They're coming from practice squad, everything like that. NBA, they got some people from the D League. Like all these other factors are playing in. But for, you know, collegiate sports, for especially in Division III women's hockey, the people that are on the ice, they're going to be there next week or this week.
Yeah, they're not fighting for roster spots.
Exactly.
They're fighting for playing time, maybe.
Yeah.
They're fighting for whatever line they end up on. But, I mean, they're guaranteed the roster spot. So it's just how well do they play together.
Right. And, I mean, the game against London, that was just, I think they were just kind of thrown off their game once it went into the third period, because I feel like they just kind of, it just seemed like they gave up.
Yeah.
They really seemed like they gave up against.
And also, I mean, yeah. Also, they'd only been on the ice for a week.
Right.
They'd only been allowed to practice on the ice starting, I believe, that Monday before.
Yeah.
Like, They had just the, I don't think they had the ice conditioning yet. I don't think the practice was there yet. Mm-hmm. They got a whole nother week under the belt. The Nazareth game, they looked better than in the London game.
They
versus
did.
Versus similar skill level opponents.
And also Nazareth was a team that was really, really good.
Yeah.
Last year. I believe that the goalie for Nazareth, she only allowed like 2 goals last year, and they lost 2 games and they went through their conference. I don't think they lost a game against any conference opponent.
I may have to fact check
myself on that, but it's also something where it's like Nazareth was a team that was just blowing by people last year. Obviously, they lost a lot of people. I remember they lost 13 seniors. And it was just something where they just lost a lot of players. But going on Oswego's side, it seemed like they weren't able to take advantage of that power play. And if they know hockey, taking advantage of that power play is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
The biggest thing in getting ahead and getting some momentum here in these games. But
yeah, I mean, Naz, like, even last year, they had an outstanding penalty kill.
Yeah.
Like, their PK was one of the best in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, though they had a tough time breaking it, it was definitely just like, it's not like they were a bad team on the PK. They were an outstanding team on the penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You would have liked to see them break it, just prove something to themselves, prove something to everybody that they are there this year, but I don't want to take too much from this. Like I said, Adrian comes in, they're number 12. We got 2 back-to-back games versus them. I think this is the real test.
It is the real test. It's a really good program out in Adrian. I mean they're 12th in the country for a reason. They're one of the best teams here in the country.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they were even, like, I'm sure they were even higher at points last year. Like, this team is just phenomenal. And, like, you look back at their last season, and they were 27-1. They also ran their conference 15-1. Lakers played them last year. It was a 2-1 loss early in the season on October 29th. What is it with
October 29th? And what is with these date parallels?
But yeah, they lost a single conference game last year. And I think it might have just been this Aurora, a playoff game, like a semifinal game. They took on Aurora. They lost 3-0. I want to say that was their only... No, sorry. They lost to Concordia 2-1 on February 4th. That was their lone conference loss. They are out of the NCHA, but yeah, they are just a phenomenal team. So
yeah.
That's all I can say. They are a phenomenal team.
Yeah, and it's something where you feel like with Coach Digby, I would think he wants this team to this Oswego team to kind of just go in there and just make a statement.
Yeah.
Make a statement. I mean, there's obviously, like, they feel like they're a little overshadowed by the men's team. And,
yeah.
You know, because the men's team, they have succeeded a little bit more. But we can't forget about the women's team. I mean, they were able to get into the SUNYAP playoffs last year. And, you know, they were 16-8-1. And, I mean, compared to, like, Nazareth, 27-2, it doesn't really compare, but it's like, you know, they were able to be good for, you know, for
a
last year.
Part of it. And also, I want to say, the Suniak is one of the best hockey, or, actually, they play the Newell. One of the best women's hockey conferences in the country. I mean, the Lakers, I believe they finished second last year, but... There are 3 teams in the top of this conference that are, like, just include the Lakers. The 3 teams are really good. I mean, number 1 team is Plattsburgh. The Newell is Plattsburgh's conference.
Mm-hmm.
They're ranked They came in preseason ranked third, and that is deserving. And then Cortland came in ranked 13. Oswego unranked.
Hmm.
So preseason poll, they actually think Oswego is the third best team in this conference.
Yeah.
And yet they still have a chance to win the conference, make it to the national championship game. So
they're a really good team. Yeah, and it's obviously this weekend is really important because obviously with Teal game Saturday for both women's and men's, you know, honoring the late Mary Gosick with as she passed away from ovarian cancer. It's just something where, you know, these games mean more than just hockey, obviously. Yeah. They mean more than hockey, and it's just something where you wanna do good for, obviously, the season, but you also have another reason to do well, another motivation. And obviously, we'll get more into that as hockey season goes around, but let's just do quick thoughts on the men's hockey team.
Yeah, who won both of their games.
Yeah, a little bit of different between both teams, but
yeah, they beat Carleton Place, so that was their junior team in the preseason. Mm-hmm. That blowout, it was 6-2, but they were skating circles around Carleton Place. Yeah. There were times when the Lakers were on the penalty kill, they were down a man, and you couldn't tell because mm-hmm. they had the puck in the Carleton Place Canadiens. The Canadiens often are defensive zone. Like, the Lakers would be like on offense, down a man, and it was like, wait, aren't they on a kill right now?
Right.
Like, they were skating circles around. There was an obvious skill difference there. The Canadiens are a junior team, so I'm not putting a lot of stock into that game mm-hmm. just because it really was more just kind of a warm up, I think, right, for this weekend, which is a huge. I cannot emphasize how big this weekend is for just the entire season.
I mean, Hobart and Elmira back to back.
Both ranked opponents. Like, it's a massive weekend. They go to Hobart on Friday, come home Saturday for the Teal game, take it on Elmira. I don't think you could have had a bigger start to your season.
No. Yeah, you couldn't, because these teams are, you know, nationally ranked, and it's also just a good way to start out the season. I mean, you're just a good way to get more recognition in the NCAA rankings. Yeah,
and
the polls.
And in the pairwise.
Yeah, and in the pairwise, exactly.
The pairwise is what matters, and the pairwise is like just how they really, that's how they determine who gets into the championship game.
Right.
Or not championship game, into the national championship. And Hobart currently ranked fifth. Not that the poll matters, it just kind of tells you how good that team is, and they're going on the road there. So, road win, huge. And a road loss isn't the worst thing to a team that is considered better than you. And then Elmira ranked ninth. Home win would be massive. A home loss is going to hurt. That's going to hurt their pairwise numbers. But mm-hmm. It's not the end all be all. It's game two of the season. There's mm-hmm. a lot to go and a very stacked schedule for this men's team, and I don't want to understate how much of a tone setter
right.
this weekend is going to be for the men's team.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the pairwise rankings last year. I mean, you got Adrian in number one. Utica, Augsburg, 2 and 3, and then you got Geneseo. Like Jenny is just a team where it's like, I just they are unable to get really much anything going against them, especially like at home last year. It was something that you really weren't going to be expecting, that Geneseo was just going to skate around you. I thought it was going to be a little bit of a more competitive game. Unable to go with that, and now that Geneseo was able to win the Suniac and be, you know, obviously fourth in the pairwise, it was insane.
And I know this year, when Jenny comes late in the season, I'm pretty sure there's a new event night for Lakers that night.
Yeah.
I believe it's Blackout, which is... That's going to be fun.
It's going to be...
The Blackout.
Deb's going to be rocking.
You got Whiteout early, Blackout late. Oof.
I mean, we didn't even, like, talk about the Whiteout games. I mean...
That's coming up.
I mean, just kind of...
A week from tomorrow. Recording this on Thursday. It is a week from tomorrow.
It's going to be Whiteout, like, and the difference is, for this year, the big game's on Friday.
Yeah.
With Blattsburg. I'm not saying Potsdam game doesn't mean anything.
It's different.
But it's different. I mean, that's obviously the biggest game, and then SUNY Potsdam will be the military appreciation night.
Yeah.
And then you just go on the road for a little bit, and then you got Brockport. And that pretty much rounds it out, besides Morrisville, for the fall semester. And then
that's crazy.
It's just...
I'll get all the Fredonia in there. Nope. I'm looking at the wrong schedule.
Yeah. Oh,
that's funny. no, but... Well, Fredonia is going to be a big game. When do they? They'll play them twice.
They play Fredonia on December 10th, and
okay.
then...
So that's a big game. That's in Fredonia. That's a big makeup game. Not makeup. It's a big revenge game.
Right.
For last year when they went to Fredonia, lost late in the season.
Yep.
And that hurt because that just really kind of hurt their...
They were trying to get a spot for the first SUNYAC spot.
Yeah, they're trying to get first SUNYAC spot. They were trying to get just into the national championship,
right?
Like into the playoff, into the whole tournament.
Yep,
and
getting a spot. Yep.
That loss hurt mm-hmm. a lot.
And then they have Fredonia senior night, so that was another matchup. But yeah, it's... But we got to temper our little expectations here. We just got... This week, we got Elmira on Saturday. It's 7 p.m. in the Deb. And then the next week is Whiteout. And we got to take it from there.
Yeah.
Got to take it from there and let the boys Thomas Turgeon and Zach Case get you more get you more info on that.
Yep.
It is...
Yeah, it's crazy. It's going to be a crazy season ahead of us.
Yep.
And next week, we're also talking some basketball with one of our resident basketball experts here in the media orgs, Mr. Spencer Bates, before he unfortunately graduates in December.
Oof.
We want to talk to him. He knows so much, but he is the beat writer for the Oswegonian on the men's basketball team. He just knows so much, and we'll talk to him.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him. I can't wait to interview him and just ask him a lot of questions, not just about the basketball team, but just about when he went to the playoff games or the NCAA games back in, you know, Philadelphia,
and then I believe it was Marietta.
Yeah,
that was. Yeah, and I saw him in Philadelphia when I was there.
Yep.
For those games, that was fun, good mm-hmm. time, but Marietta was it just a different atmosphere. I've talked to him about it a little bit, but I don't. But we'll save that for the pod.
We'll save it for next week. Yeah, thank you guys for tuning in once again, episode 5 of the 104 Sports Report. We'll get ready to talk some basketball, as well as transition a little bit more into winter sports. Obviously, we'll keep the track on women's soccer and volleyball as long as they stay in the playoff hunt. But that is going to do it for episode 5 of the 104 Sports Report. I am Alex Brooks. That is Brian Burrows.
Yes,
and we will see you next week. Let's go.
Peace.